I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. A special holiday edition of The Barbershop today. The guys are taking their virtual seats in the shop, and you'll hear from them a bit later in the program. But first, many of you may still be in Thanksgiving mode, away visiting with family and friends or just kicking back watching some football. But for as many as 1.6 million Americans, Home Sweet Home this weekend is likely to be a homeless shelter or some form of transitional housing. With mounting foreclosures, record unemployment, and further state budget cuts looming, the number of sheltered homeless people is expected to rise. Statistics show that between 2007 and 2009, family homelessness rose nearly 30%. Earlier this year, the Obama administration unveiled a new plan, the first of its kind, aimed at ending homelessness in 10 years. To talk more about just how that plan is expected to work and what it means to be homeless in America today, I'm joined in our Washington studio by Nan Roman. She's the executive director of the National Alliance to End Homelessness. We also have with us Noel Beeman, a former corporate manager who currently lives in a homeless shelter here in Washington. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nan, let me start with you. I think for a lot of people, when you think of homeless, you think of the guy sleeping on the street. I mean, that's the stereotype. But is that really what homelessness looks like today?
That really is not what homelessness looks like today. Almost half of people who are homeless are people living in families. That percentage of people who are sort of the stereotype, single adult males with disabilities, mental illness, substance abuse disorders, and so forth, is more like 20% of the homeless population. And for about 80% of people who are homeless, really homelessness is an economic situation. They don't make enough money or have enough money to pay rent. And housing costs have gone up significantly faster and higher than incomes have gone up over the past 20 years.
Noel, can you tell us what happened to you?
Well, I was working in corporate America, and I had a job that I was working at for 11 years. Thought I would retire from that job. And in 2008, with the economy, with the recession that we were in, my department was done away with. And in doing so, I was sent on my way with 10 weeks severance pay.
10 weeks?
10 weeks severance pay. That's it. And in that position, you know, trying to find a job and doing the same thing that I was doing was very, very difficult. And then even applying for an $8 an hour job, no one wants to hire someone who basically makes $30 an hour for an $8 an hour job. And trying to make ends meet was impossible. I basically went through my savings, my 401k, unemployment as long as I could get it, and I lost my home. And I had two kids in college. I'm a divorced mom with two kids in college. It was very devastating.
That must be terrifying.
It is. It was the scariest thing I've ever been through in my entire life. I'd never in my life been homeless, never faced a situation like that.
I mean, so when you lose your house, I mean, it's the marshals come to your house and
I was evicted. And to see years of personal belongings on the street, I could not stop the tears. And I gathered what I could, put what I could in storage, and the rest stayed on the street. It was devastating.
How did you make the decision to go to a shelter?
I had no other option. I have some family in the area, but they were not in the position to actually take me in. They have large families of their own. So I needed to kind of pick myself up, and I made that decision very quickly, and I called the shelter hotline and immediately got into an emergency shelter. I was fortunate for that.
An emergency shelter means that you can't stay there all day.
You cannot. You go in, it's 7 p.m., and you get to spend the night, and it's 7 in the morning. You have to be out with all of your belongings.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, and we're talking about homelessness in America. I'm with Nan Roman, the executive director of the National Alliance to End Homelessness, and Noel Beeman, a former corporate manager who moved into a homeless shelter after being evicted from her rental home. Nan, let me come back to you for a minute. I've been reading that one of the newer approaches to trying to help the homeless is giving people money to pay up to 18 months of rent as opposed to keeping people in shelters. Is that what's happening now?
Yes, I think there is a movement really based on data that shows that it works better and is more effective that's called Housing First or Rapid Rehousing, and it's essentially saying it's better to prevent people from becoming homeless, people in Noelle's situation, or to help them get quickly back in into an apartment rather than essentially let them enter the shelter system or transitional housing and spend long periods of time living there just trying to save up enough money to move back into an apartment.
But I know people that have been looking for a job longer than that. I mean, if the money runs out in 18 months, aren't you back where you started?
You may be back where you started. I mean, in theory, the system should be organized so that if you needed more help at the end of 18 months, you could continue to get assistance. But I think the other way to think of it is how you could really, Noelle could perhaps speak to this, but how you can get yourself together, the difficulties of doing that when you're living at a shelter that you have to leave at 7 in the morning, you don't have a telephone, you can't copy your resume, you can't get yourself ready to look for work. I think housing is really the platform from which many, many other things come: employment, education, good health, a healthy environment for your children. We have to have shelter for everyone who needs it, but it's not the optimum housing situation.
Noelle, let me ask you, what is it like at the shelter?
Actually, I've moved from the emergency shelter to Entry Village.
So that's different than the emergency shelter.
Totally different.
Tell us a little bit why.
Well, the reason why it's different is, number one, I get better services. At an emergency shelter, you get no services, really. So at least there, I have the ability to see a doctor without worrying about the insurance so much. I get to participate in a lot of self-care activities. So it's a lot better. I don't have to be on the street until 7 o'clock at night. I'm able to go in at 4. And I'm busy until 4 now. And have a nice warm bed in a much better environment than what I was in. I was in a shelter that housed 80 women in one room. I'm not in that situation anymore, and I'm blessed for that. So, yeah, it's a lot better where I am right now.
As a woman, I can't imagine how terrifying it must be to have nowhere to be and to have to drag all of your stuff with you. Is it worse than what the men are dealing with? Are you more at risk?
I think you are at risk, because at an emergency shelter, you're dealing with people that have mental disabilities that are unchecked. You're dealing with people who have been into our criminal justice system and are freshly out. You're dealing with all walks of life, and there are no services there for these people at all, including myself, to get any help. It's up to you to get the help when you're in an emergency situation. It was the most scariest thing ever. I didn't sleep. I lost 20 pounds during that 1 month that I was there. So fortunately for me, I've gained the 20 pounds back. And I feel happier and healthier than I probably have, believe it or not, in a very long time. Believe it or not, this process has allowed me to find myself and to find strengths that I didn't know that I actually had.
Man, what kind of programs are there to help people that are just on the edge? I mean, like Noelle said, she was renting a house, lost her job. Are there places that people can go before they get to the point of being evicted?
Yeah, so there's always been a little bit of prevention money or places that people can go so that they don't get evicted. And there are also all kinds of legal programs and so forth, but they've never been anywhere close to scale. In the stimulus bill, there was actually a new program that was introduced called HPRP, the Homelessness Prevention and Rapid Rehousing Program. It was a $1.5 billion program that distributed money across the country, really to try to prevent a big increase in homelessness resulting from the recession and the high unemployment rates, which we expected, and frankly, we still do expect. But the HPRP, Homelessness Prevention Rapid Rehousing Program, was very effective in setting up prevention programs that tried to help people before they lost their housing to stay where they are rather than becoming homeless. And then the rapid rehousing part, as we discussed, is if they do become homeless, try to get people back into an apartment much more rapidly.
I just have to say, Noelle was sitting there shaking her head, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I think I tried everything possible to stay in my home. I think there's a problem with the middle class America that when you do get into that point, the services are not there. Believe me, I called everywhere trying to find money to stay in my home. The money was not there. The services were not there. Mm-hmm. So I got to tell you, I hear what you're saying, Nan, but it's not as simple as you're making it out to be.
Yeah. Well, I would also, I mean, she's right in terms of income qualification, because these programs are really designed to serve people below 30% of area median income. So I can see that Noelle probably didn't qualify for them when she was going through that. And it's also the case that, you know, people did what I'm sure you did, which is they sort of work their way through their assets. So at the point when they're about to be evicted, often people still have some assets, and then they don't qualify for these programs. It's not to scale. I mean, there's not enough of it, but there, at least I think it's been helping.
I'm wondering, Nan, what do you think are the chances of success, this plan to end homelessness in 10 years? I mean, is it possible at all that this would work?
Well, I think it's completely possible that it would work. It's definitely a huge challenge that we're in the middle of the recession and the high unemployment rates. And actually, the federal government has just gotten on the bandwagon with the plans to end homelessness. But communities have been doing this since about 2000. And the numbers nationally had been going down up until the recession. And now they've flattened out. I think they haven't gone up. But I think they will. I think they, sadly, I think they will start to go up, because we just can't have 2 years of high unemployment, increasing poverty, and expect this not to have an impact.
Noelle Beeman is a former corporate manager currently living in a Washington, D.C. homeless shelter, and Nan Roman is executive director of the National Alliance to End Homelessness. Thank you both for taking the time to come talk to us. And Noelle, best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.